Hey, if you could turn with me in two places, please. We're going to go to Acts 1. Ignore the screen. We're not going to Romans 12. Acts 1, Luke 10. Acts 1 and Luke 10 is where we're going to go. We're going to talk about an issue that is a very, very important issue. It's a vital issue. It's an issue that is slamming against our nation as we speak. And it's an issue that absolutely, incredibly, 100% should never enter into the church of God, period. And it's a racial issue. It's an issue, unless you've had your head in the sand, you've seen a serious problem in this nation of race. And whether it is white or black, or whether it's yellow, which I look at Minions as like just yellow, as if it's red and orange, or whatever color people may be, or whatever nationality, or whatever country other people may come from. And I'm so blessed by Believer's Chapel because we do have other people from other nations and countries. We have people from all kinds of different color that come into this church, white or black or Indian or whatever case it may be. And man, in the church, gang, please hear my heart in this, in the church, we should know what it is to love one another. In the church, we should know what it is that the world is going to do what the world is going to do. But the church is a different house. The church is a different community. The church is a different people. You realize when Christ comes into your life, when Christ comes in, do you understand that for us who truly are American, that you had one who is of a Jewish descent put himself on a cross for you? Complete and total different nationality for you and me who are Gentile to come to know him in such a real way. And man, I want to just got a few minutes this morning, but I want to hit this thing real. We talk about sin in this church. We talk about sex before marriage. We talk about the sin of homosexuality. We talk about the sin of lying in our tongue. We talk about the sin of pride in our hearts. We talk about the sin of being haughtiness. We talk about the sin of division. Well, today we need to address the sin of racism. Because it's an issue that just slamming this country. It's an issue that breaks my heart. And don't you believe that as the church, people who are supposed to know God and love God, and people who are supposed to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself, love God, love people. That simple. Jesus said that in Mark 12. Listen, the top two commandments are this: love God with everything and love people. Simple. And sometimes that we look at the things of the world. Sometimes we allow the things of the world. And again, please, the world will act like the world. But I'm addressing the church who's supposed to act like Christ. Who's supposed to just love people. Could you imagine? Honestly, we're already packed out, but could you imagine if we honestly walked out these doors and just loved people? Loved people. Called to be peacemakers, called to love our enemies, called to speak up about people, called to be the reason why people would come to Christ. Could you imagine that? That God has left the responsibility to you and I to be the reason why people would come to him. Don't be the reason why people don't come to him. Be the reason why mankind comes to him. And when you really break this thing down to simplicity, we all are the same in a sense of all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And then you come to a place to look at 1 Timothy 2:4. The Bible says, for it was God's desire for all to come to know him and come to the knowledge of truth. For all to be saved. All have sinned. God's desire and will is for all to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So when you break it down in the simplicity of everything, all of mankind swims in the same boat. All have sinned, but yet God's desire is for all to be saved. And he's called the church to be the reason why people come to him. That's on us. Look at this. Acts 1 says this. And honestly, the Lord just put Acts 1 on my heart as I was opening my Bible for the first service. We're going to go to Romans 12, but we are not. We're going to go to Acts. Honestly, the Lord reminded me of something as I started preaching the first service, and we just want to kind of wing it here in Acts 1. It says this, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Again, I'm going to be speaking on the Holy Spirit when I get back from the Dominican Republic. We're going to do a whole series on the Holy Spirit, and he's not the distant cousin. Do you have a distant cousin that you're like, oh, I don't really know if I know him? Yeah, that's not the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. All in one, with great power and great authority. You know, this is Jesus speaking, and this is like their last encounter with Jesus. Could you imagine the disciples at this point, man? The disciples have seen. I mean, could you imagine being in the disciples' shoes, these uneducated, untrained men who really don't know anything but fishermen or maybe some taxes or their other called their jobs and what they did, but they weren't trained in ministry. They weren't educated in ministry, but they walked with the master, man. They walked with the king. They walked with the one, and they began to see these blind eyes. They began to see him speak with an unbelievable authority to the wind, to the storm, to the sea. They began to see him raise the dead and call them out of the grave. They began to see leprosy begin to just lose itself on people and drop off. They began to see lame, whether it be arms or legs, and healing all kind of disease. And then they began to see him speak to evil and speak to demons and just call them out of people and tell them where to go and what to do. They've seen it all. And then they see Jesus hanging on a cross. They see Jesus die. And 3 days later, man, the earth shakes and Jesus comes out of the grave, and they begin to spend 40 days with Jesus after that. And they've seen him as the resurrected Son of God. I mean, what else could be left? And Jesus shows up this one last time. And he gathers his disciples. And remember, his disciples were all of the Jewish descent. And there is this. Remember the story, even we just heard it for 2 weeks in a row, the woman at the well and the racial issue between the Samaritans and the Jews. There was a racial issue. That was a hatred there. The Jews hated the Samaritans. Samaritans could care less for the Jews. And there was this hatred there that was just something where Jesus was dealing with. Jesus broke the rules of racism. Jesus broke the rules that you can't talk to this woman. You certainly can't talk to a Samaritan, and certainly can't talk to a Samaritan woman. And when the disciples were coming back after going into town, which they didn't even want to go to the town because they hated these people, they were amazed and shocked, even a sense of angry. Why is Jesus talking to this woman? There was issues there between the Jews and the Samaritans. There's issues between the Jews and the Gentiles. Because they're just not Jews. There's this higher thought of this self-righteousness. It's amazing that even Jesus handles this in some of his very last words. Look at this in Acts 1. He says this, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." You will receive. There's not a question there. You will receive power. That word power is authority. You will receive authority when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Look at Jesus' last word. This is what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. There's going to be authority there. There's going to be power there. And what you're going to do with that power is you're going to testify about me. And you're going to go into Jerusalem. You're going to go into Judea. And then you're going to go into Samaria. Yeah, that's right. You're going to go to your enemy's camp. Yeah, that's right. You're going to go to those people that you don't like. Yeah, that's right. How about we cut that right now for the sake of Jesus? This is what Jesus, his very last words, said, "Listen, you are disciples who have the Jewish descent. I know you still have issues with those in Samaria. You have issues with the Samaritan, but guess what? Those are the people you need to reach. Those are the people who are lost and broken. Same as Jerusalem, same in Judea, same in Samaria." And then he says this, he covers every inch of the earth, all the remotest parts of the earth. Anywhere someone breathes, that person needs Jesus. It's incredible that he left people, us, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be his witnesses, to be his testimony, that there's one named Jesus. And his last words will say, "Listen, you of the Jewish descent, you are going to go into Samaria to your enemy, and you're going to love them, and you're going to teach them about me, and you're going to be my witnesses." And then this amazing thing happens. It says this, "And then after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight." I mean, they've seen everything. And we talk about his virgin birth, which is totally amazing to us. We talk about his death on a cross, which is totally salvation for us. We talk about his resurrection from the death, his hope for the conqueror of death for eternity. And then we come to this point, which is not talked about very much, is all of a sudden Jesus in this conversation with his disciples, he's huddled them up and said, "Listen, guys, this is the deal. The Spirit's going to come on you. You're going to be empowered with great authority. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to testify about me. You're going to be my witnesses. And you're going to go to every people group Whether you like them or not, you're going to every people group. Bury that, because you're going to every people group. And all of a sudden, Jesus just one of these, whoop, just goes up. He makes sound effects, I'm sure. That's what Jesus does, right? Whoop, he just goes up. Like, I don't know if he's like the flame, like flame on. And he goes up, or maybe he was more like holy, like, ah, and he just kind of, I like the flame on myself. I think that's pretty sweet. But here the Bible says that these guys are just staring into the cloud and in the sky going, just what? Peter, did you see that? Did you know that was coming? Did you, he just, our boss just left. He just gone, and he gave us an instruction to love people and to be his testimony. And they're looking in the sky, and the amazing thing in the next verse, the Bible says there's two men in white clothing symbolizing these are angels who show up, and they're looking up in the sky. Hey, what are you guys looking at? Boom. Well, our boss just left. Just to be those two angels sent from heaven for one task. Go down. They're going to be looking into heaven. Go stand right next to them. Freak them out. Awesome. And give them one message. And the same way you saw him go, he will return. And then poof, gone. Angels are awesome. See, Jesus, who even in his last time with his disciples just put all kind of nationality aside and said, this is the deal, guys. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're not going to see race, you're not going to see color, you're going to see broken people, and you're going to go to all of these people groups, and you're going to testify about me. And I want to show you a story in Luke 10 where Jesus deals with this in a serious, serious way. It's about the Good Samaritan, and you hear this story, and it's a great story for us. But can I tell you this? It was not a great story for those that Jesus was talking to. I mean, we look and say, oh, it's the Good Samaritan, it's a great story. Probably one of the most talked about parables in Scripture. Everybody knows the story of the Good Samaritan. But when Jesus told, you got to put it in context, man. You got to put it in the environment that it was in. When Jesus told this story, he made the enemy the hero. Right. That's bad. We make light of it and say, oh, when you see a tire, go change a tire for the old lady because she can't. If the person on the side of the road is your enemy and you stop, or you're the one who has the issue with the person stopping, yet they clear all type of racism and they stop to help, that's the story. It's not this lukewarm thing, well, oh, let's just change the tire. I'm a good Samaritan. No, when he's telling it in the context of this day, those who are listening to this were being punched in the face by Jesus. You are self-righteous and you don't get it. And he makes the enemy the hero. So when you read this in context, in the right setting of what was taking place, the enemy becomes a hero. And he's speaking to the Jews. This is not a good story for the Jews. It's not like this, hey, let's talk about the Good Samaritan story again. This was not a popular story. You got to hear this. Look at this. Come on, verse 25 says this. Then a lawyer, who's a Jewish lawyer, stood up and putting Jesus to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He asks a serious question. What a powerful question. And he asks a question to test Jesus. Mark 12, 31, 30 and 31, we say see the same type of question where he's asked by another lawyer, by a scribe, say, hey, listen, what is the top commandment? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor. Love God, love people. Top two. So here we see this again. And a lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? I love Jesus. When you ask Jesus a question, he flips it and asks another question. Just like Jesus. Incredible. He demands an answer. This guy asks a question. Jesus said, great question, but it's already written down. Do you know the law? Of course the lawyer or the scribe knows the law. Probably they knew the first five books of the whole Old Testament, had it memorized to be in the position he was in. It's a serious deal. He said, well, what's the law say? So the lawyer answers and he says this. Verse 26, Or verse 27, and he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Perfect. Verse 28, Jesus says to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. End of discussion. How do I have eternal life? Well, what's written down? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, man, that's the right answer. That's perfect. Go do this and you will live. And it looks like the conversation's over. It should be over. But then the lawyer asks the second question. Look at what it says. To justify himself, verse 29, wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? Incredible question. Conversation was over. Jesus gave the answer. I can imagine this lawyer standing there going, man, I know that I'm supposed to love God. And I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. And trying to justify, ever try to justify yourself when your back's against the wall? Trying to get himself out of a hole, revealing the self-righteous person that he is, he asked Jesus, is there a loophole? Like, who really is my neighbor? Is it the Gentiles really aren't my neighbor? They're not like us. Samaritans, certainly, no way. They're half-breeds. They're nothing like us. They've betrayed us. They're against us. So isn't it just the Jews who are my neighbors? Isn't it just those who are like us and only those who are like us? Trying to justify himself. And without this second question, we've never had the story of the Good Samaritan. And then Jesus comes and he punches self-righteousness right in the face and he says this. This is amazing. I love parables because Jesus was very pointed in his teaching in parables. Then Jesus replied and said, a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's about a 17-mile walk. Jerusalem's where the temple was. And fell among robbers. And the man, most scholars believe that he was a Jewish man coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among robbers, and they stripped him, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. You've got this supposed Jewish man who's laying on the side of the road, who's been stripped, who's been beaten, and who's been beaten so badly, if he's left there, he's going to die. And then Jesus brings in these three characters. That's the first character. He brings in three more characters. He says this. And by chance, a priest, and he's now speaking to the crowds, folks. And by chance, a priest was going down on the road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I don't see you, right? I mean, how many times do we just walk past something and say, I don't think I see you. A Levite, same thing. I didn't see that bloody man. You can convince yourself of anything, folks. I don't think I saw him. I see him, but I could care less about him. He's not my business. I'm just busy. I got to get going on, man. I'm the priest and I'm the Levite. I'm the servants of the church. I realized they were probably just coming from the temple in a sense of worshiping God. And they walk by somebody who's in desperate need. I mean, right there is not a good story for those who are listening to the story. And then just as Jesus can do, he brings in this fourth party. But yet there is a Samaritan who walked by. Folks, this is the enemy. The Samaritan walked by. And he stopped. And he gave him oil. And he gave him wine for his wounds. And he must have, because he was half dead, he must have picked him up all bloodied and messed in his suit, in his attire, or whatever he was wearing. He obviously had money. The Samaritan obviously was a wealthy man in the story. So he picks him up, whatever he was wearing, and he carries him to a nice hotel. Not the Days Inn, but a nice place, right? He says, listen, he takes care of him. And he said, look, give him a place to stay. Feed him, take care of him, let him be strong. I have to go, but I'm going to come back. And if there's any other debt that's been incurred, I'm going to pay for that as well, but I'll be back. Imagine the crowd is like, what? Did he just make our enemies the heroes? This was not a happy ending for them. This wasn't a great story for the crowd, folks. What was Jesus doing? He was cutting right through a racial issue. And he punched self-righteous pride and haughtiness right in the face. It's funny that the lawyer's question is, well, who's my neighbor? You know what Jesus' answer was? If you read the story, go be a neighbor. It wasn't who's my neighbor, it's go be the neighbor. Go be the one to heal somebody. Go be the one to encourage somebody. Go be the one that stops for somebody who's hurting and broken. Go be the one that would stop at one that you would proclaim maybe to be your enemy or maybe to be not like you. You be the one to stop. It's not who your neighbor is. Jesus saying, be the neighbor. Because when you really come to a place to say, God said, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Old Testament, New Testament. And the Bible says to love others as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. Listen, the world is going to do what the world's going to do. And it should break our hearts. But church, the church has to do what the church has to do. And that's to be like Christ. Here in this community, I'm so thankful that we have all kind of nationality that feel comfortable in this house. From birth to retirement, from different color, from different nationalities. And man, we are begging God. I don't care what they look like. God, bring in the hurting and bring in the broken so that we can be the neighbor to them. God, that we would be the reason. We would be the reason why people come to this place. We'd be the reason why people are comfortable here. We'd be the reason why people would come to a place to understand who you are and what you've done for them. We'd be the reason, just as Jesus said, listen, go into Jerusalem, go into Judea, go into the enemy's camp, go into Samaria for the purpose of testifying and being my witnesses so that you would be the reason that they'd come to life. Please, folks, do not let what's going on in the world around us creep into this place. Please, please. Come on, just bow your heads for a minute, please, that you would just come to a place this morning. That you would say, I want to be the reason why those in Jerusalem, those in Judea, those in whatever my Samaria looks like, in every part of the earth, I'd be the reason to become the neighbor. Not look to see who is my neighbor, but to become the neighbor that would pick up, bandage, encourage, bless, and bring him to the feet of Jesus. I'll be that reason. I'll be that reason. In your hearts, can you just take a moment to say, Lord, I want to be that reason. And I said this in the first service. I wish this place was packed with every single person in Believer's Chapel. They can sit on the stage if they would have had to. But if you know in your heart, man, you have an issue with race. This is so real, folks. If you know that you have an issue with race, I'm begging you to get it right before God, to repent, to ask for forgiveness, and to walk in love, to be the church, to be like Christ. Because there's an amazing place in Acts 4 where the disciples, they get arrested and they go through all kind of craziness. And it comes out from those who are looking to take Paul and John out. They said one thing that just stunned me as I was reading this in Acts 4. It said, we recognize that they have been with Jesus. Do people recognize that you've been with Jesus? because it'll change us when we do. We'll begin to love like Jesus. We'll begin to care like Jesus. We'll begin to have a heart that breaks for those who are broken. We'll hate what's going on in this world. We come to a place to say, it's not going to happen here. And it's not going to happen in my house. It's not going to happen in my life. And if this is an issue with you, that you come to grips with it today, say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I repent. That I would walk in love. Father, that we would be a church that would be known and recognized that we have been with you. That we be with Jesus. We've been in your presence. Your spirit reigns and dwells within us. And that we would love. We would love. Father, let us be that people. God, that we would be the reason that people come to your grace, come to a knowledge of truth, and come to salvation. God, that we would be that people. Please, make it our desire, God. In Jesus' name, come on, amen.